Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big-time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd. On the Double with the Double S Express.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the show number 60 version of On the Double with the Double S Express. I'm Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally, bringing you the best in sports. Throughout this hour, we will have one of our guests on the show, Paul Sunderland. He is a guest that we had on earlier. Sean Wally, how you doing today, man?
What's going on, Sean? 60 shows. Hard to believe that it's been that many already. Seems like just yesterday, show number one with Eric Williams and Ruthie Bolton. But as you mentioned, Paul Sunderland tonight returning, wants to talk some NBA, what happened in the finals, the playoffs, and the NBA draft. And a newcomer to the show, big Husky legend, former NFL quarterback Damon Heward as well tonight.
Yeah, so we have two exciting guests on the show here, Sean Wally. But first and foremost, man, you are in a warmer climate than usual, and that's hard to say this time of the year up in eastern Washington where it's a little warm, but you've migrated down southwesterly to Las Vegas. Let our listeners know what's going on with you down in Vegas.
That's right. Las Vegas is the place right now, and I am a couple weeks ago we had the executive director of globalbasketball.com and the Global Basketball Summer League on with us, Daryl Reshaw, and I hooked up with him to get an opportunity to do play-by-play for the Summer League as well as some sideline reporting and interviewing. So that's what's going on this week.
Man, some big things. You know, we have big-time guests on the show, and then they open up the opportunity. And of course, you're down there getting a chance to see some of the upcoming talent, if you will, some of the talent that's played overseas and looking to get into the NBA. And then, of course, there are a couple NBA players as well, I believe, that is in this league. So this should be great for you down there and getting that experience and that exposure and bringing it double S style.
Yeah, it's pretty neat how many people from all over the world have come to Las Vegas for this basketball event this week. And not only players, but you've got coaches from all over the world, from Europe, from Canada, from all over the states that are here coaching the teams, and then also here just a scout. There's scouts here, there's agents here. So it's definitely a good prelude to the NBA Summer League in a couple weeks.
Man, well, I know you're representing well down there, and I got to tell you, I'm jealous, man. You're down there in Las Vegas. I'm sure you're going to get a chance to get out there on the strip and have a little fun as well, but more importantly, you're down there for some business, and you know that's good too, man. So congratulations on that.
Yeah, there's not a lot of free time. We've got four games each and every day starting tomorrow. Today was introductions, and all the teams ran through practices, and a lot of business, not a lot of play time in Vegas.
So, yeah, so you'd mentioned, Sean, that there are four games that are on slate. So that means that you're handling all four games? You're broadcasting all four games back-to-back-to-back-to-back, or are there other broadcasters there that are helping you out?
Hopefully not. I don't think I'd be able to talk after day two if I did eight games in 2 days. The plan is, and we'll go over it more after the show tonight at our production meeting, is to have, there's two of us that are wanting to do play-by-play, so we're wanting to break it up, two games a day. And hopefully that'll keep our voices fresh and allow us to put out a good product, not only for the Global Basketball Summer League, but for ourselves as well.
So yeah, again, upcoming players that you are in contact with and coaches as well. And so, you know, this should be, again, something that benefits and gets you catapulted to the next level, man. But man, let's shift gears here and let's talk about the world of sports, Sean Wally. Of course, there is a season upon us with the Major League Baseball, and there's some great things happening. There's a race that is really tightened in the AL. And of course, this past week, you know, the Oakland A's were looking to get some separation in the AL West. And right now it stands that they're 3.5 games up on the Los Angeles Angels. And of course, the Seattle Mariners trying to stay in pace. Of course, they have the first wild card spot. Their record shows that at 48, I believe 48-40, Sean Wally. And so they're doing a great job as well.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a fun summer in the AL West, the best division in baseball. Of course, the A's with the very best record, the Angels playing good ball, the Mariners right on their heels, and of course, a very big and interestingly fun series coming up this next weekend in Seattle as the A's look to invade Safeco.
Yeah, well, I mean, a more important series of recent is the series tonight that the Oakland A's embark on as they take on their cross bay rivals, the San Francisco Giants. The Oakland A's, of course, touting the best record in the majors. And it wasn't too long ago, about 3 weeks ago, to say the least, that the San Francisco Giants held that position. Now San Francisco a half game out from Los Angeles in the NL West, and they are looking to definitely put their mark in on this first game of the series. Ryan Vogelsong for the San Francisco Giants is on the mound, and Jesse Chavez for the Oakland A's is set to go to battle in this Bay Area brawl. And of course, that game is scheduled with a 7 o'clock first pitch, and it's just getting underway as we speak. And so again, Ryan Vogelsong on the mound for the San Francisco Giants and Jesse Chavez on the mound for the Oakland A's. Oakland A's having a 55-33 record in the majors, best record in the majors. And of course, the San Francisco Giants, 49-39, a half game out of the LA Dodgers. So Sean, while you were mentioning the Seattle Mariners, of course, yeah, Sean, 48-47 games out. Looks like they were trying to make some ground. Last 10 games, 6-4. Lost a little bit of ground. The Oakland A's 7-3 over the past 10 games, but yet still on pace.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting how it all plays out. There's obviously still a lot of baseball to go as the 162-game season drags on and we're into the dog days of summer. And, you know, the A's made the first big move, acquiring the two pitchers from the Cubs. And we'll see if either the Angels and or the Mariners try to strike back and make an impact.
Yeah, pitching is definitely a need when you're trying to solidify yourself and making a pennant run. I know that we've talked about that last year as far as the Mariners are concerned, and they were their need was more so a right-handed bat. But you can't get enough pitching, Sean Wally, and I'm a total believer in that. If you want to lock down teams, you just have to out-pitch your opponent, and you'll wind up winning the game. But, yeah, the Oakland A's definitely made a move on picking up solid pitching, and let's see if that will catapult them or keep them on pace. It seems like they're doing such a great job no matter what happens. I mean, you know, barring injuries and everything, I mean, it seems like somebody's always hurt on the Oakland A's, but yet they're still winning baseball games. And so, again, they have that cross-bay rival today against the San Francisco Giants, and, you know, that should be a great one.
So the A's gave up their number one prospect and a few other lesser-known players. Do you think it was worth it? Of course, time will tell, but on paper, was it a good move?
Well, you know, the owner, Joe Wolf, wants to win now. And, you know, of course, Oakland A's are known for Moneyball. They're known for having, you know, a surplus of players and playing three-card Monty, if you will, and putting together, you know, a great team that can slap the ball around. But I think that the time is now for Oakland, so I think that this move was definitely the best move that they can make for winning now. There's an urgency. There's an urgency to actually win the World Series. And so if you're going to win that, you're going to have to spend some money. And what I mean by that, you're going to have to spend L.A. Dodgers money. You're going to have to spend New York Yankees style money to actually stay with. And of course, let's not forget that Detroit, who's in first place in the Central at 48-37, they're starting to click right now. And so when it comes down to postseason, as much as we love bats, pitching is what does it. And so I believe that that was a great move for the Oakland A's and giving up their top prospect to get a solid pitcher.
It's very interesting to me to see the A's be buyers and bring on quality pitchers that they've done in the last week and bolster their squad as opposed to, you know, they've got a guy that's at the end of his contract. He's going to be a higher priced guy, need bigger money, and then ship him out of town like they've done in the past.
Yeah. And again, they want to win. You know, and that's the biggest thing. And right now they're trying to find the pieces to put together to keep the camaraderie going. You know, the Oakland A's, if you watch the swagger that they have in the clubhouse, it's something that, you know, is a little bit different. They, you know, they've always had, you know, that confidence, but this year, you know, it's something different. And, you know, I kind of liken it. I mean, I might be prematurely speaking, but, you know, watching this team day in and day out, it's kind of like, I think how you felt last year, Sean Wally, when everybody was talking about how these NFL teams were going to come out and how the San Francisco 49ers were going to take care of business against the Seattle Seahawks. And you had that feeling, and as did the Pacific Northwest, that you guys don't know what you're talking about. There's a certain feel in that, you know, in that locker room. And, you know, right now I believe that the Oakland A's have that, you know, have that charisma, have that passion, have that zeal, and they are the team to beat. And, you know, they just made a solid move in the pitching, as I had mentioned. And so, you know, hey, it remains to be seen. There's a whole half of the season. We haven't even come up on the All-Star break. But, you know, I think the voting shows, you know, with the Oakland A's having six players being voted in to this All-Star team, I think the rest of the nation knows that these guys are for real.
Six Oakland A's, three Seattle Mariners, a good representation of the AL West in the All-Star game. Do you think the proper players are getting to play in the All-Star game next week?
Well, you know, that is the, you know, the other part of the equation. So there, you know, there are players that, you know, because the fans do play a role, you know, there are players that, you know, a lot of people feel shouldn't be on the All-Star ballot. And that's the All-Star game in a nutshell. I mean, you know, you have to appease the fans, and then there are the other players that are selected. But, you know, I really couldn't tell you. I just know that, you know, the players that you'd mentioned, the three from Seattle, the six from Oakland. I mean, those guys, I feel should be on the ballot and should be in the All-Star game. And so, you know, again, I mean, that's open to all kinds of opinion, but, you know, that's why they play the game, and, you know, it should be a good one nonetheless.
Baseball's definitely heating up, as is the weather, and it's going to be interesting to see how everything plays out. And you had mentioned money, Sean, and, you know, you talked about Yankee money, Dodger money, and the funny thing is the Dodgers are doing well, but you look at the Yankees, the Red Sox, teams that typically spend a lot of money, close to $200 million or even above in the Yankees' case, and they are towards the bottom of the division in the AL East. So it just proves that spending improperly does not equate to necessarily victories on the field.
And yeah, that's why I think that the moves that the Oakland A's have made thus far are very calculated. And so, you know, that's something that they've, you know, they're not just spending frivolously. They're not just going after the top name. They're going after pieces that will actually help their ball club. And so, you know, and I believe that Seattle did that as well, spent a little bit of money, which everybody shook their, you know, kind of shrugged their shoulders at in the beginning with Robinson Cano. But now that seems to be paying dividends with a solid player in their clubhouse with some awesome pitching as well. So let's go out to the phone lines. We have our first guest on the double with the Double S Express, and that is none other than Damon Heward. Damon, how you doing today?
I'm good, guys. How we doing?
Man, great. Yeah, you know, thanks for being on the double with the Double S Express. And we were just talking a little bit of baseball here. And of course, you know, you being you know, having strong ties to the Pacific Northwest, you know, what's your thoughts on how the Mariners are doing?
No, it's exciting. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, this is a big baseball town with some history, and it's been a tough stretch here of late. But, I think this is exciting. I mean, the Mariners are one of their best records in a long time this late into the season. We're still talking about them. They're, you know, they're relevant, you know, which is great, you know, right before the All-Star break here. So certainly in Seattle, people are excited. I know I'm looking for tickets for a game this week, so... yeah, it's fun to be a Mariner fan when they're playing well and they're in the hunt to get in the postseason.
So speaking of the crowd, you know, of course, you know, when Seattle backs or gets behind their teams, there's none better in any sport. And so what's the crowds looking like now up at Safeco?
Well, I think they're better. You know, I mean, you know, again, it's been such a long stretch, and then certainly after the Seahawks run this this last season, you know, Seattle fans are excited for a winner, and you know, this team's going to win some games. The fans are going to show up. It's been better of late. I think the last couple weeks, you know, since they pushed their record above 500, there have been more and more fans in the seats, and obviously with the weather and summertime, kids out of school. So, yeah, the attendance is going to be there if the team continues to win.
Husky legend and former NFL quarterback Damon Heward joining us. Damon, you mentioned the Super Bowl run that the Seahawks went on. You've got a couple of Super Bowl rings yourself. What did that do to you personally, mentally, the achievement of being the best in the NFL?
Well, you know, I held that clipboard pretty hard, pretty tight those couple years behind Tom Brady's for those Super Bowl rings. But honestly, I can tell you that it is a very proud thing. There's no doubt about it. It's something that, you know, you will have for the rest of your life. You can, you know, tell your friends that you played for the best team in the world back that year. So it's a special, special deal. It's why players play the game, you know, for that achievement and for that moment. Now, I will say, you know, not to get everybody worried here, but certainly after our first Super Bowl ring in New England in 2001, you know, the next year we were 9-7 and didn't make the playoffs. And, you know, it's an adjustment. It's a change. It's a beautiful thing. It's a great thing. But, you know, all of a sudden everybody's tugging at you. You become maybe a little more distracted than you are in a normal off season. A lot of guys are going to be rewarded with big money, and how are they going to respond after they get their big contracts? So, you know, it's a craft. It's a gift to handle success. And some people can do it. You know, certainly Coach Pete, he did that down at USC with all that success down there. But Pete Carroll, it'll be a challenge, certainly to manage success. And that's a great thing, but certainly something that is very, very important and critical, you know, coming into this upcoming season for the Seahawks.
Now, Damon, what's your take on how quarterbacks like a Russell Wilson, a Colin Kaepernick, these guys seem to be quick, agile, and move around very, very well versus the style of play that you had, your brother Brock, your good buddy Dan Marino, the tall drop back, and I'm going to throw it downfield?
Yeah, you know, there's no doubt about it. It's a game now where, you know, having that athletic quarterback, that guy that can make a play when the play breaks down, you know, is such an added bonus. You know, I will say at the end of the day, I still believe the game in the National Football League is played within the pocket, and certainly Russell and Kaepernick and RG3 and these guys can make plays with their feet and extend the plays, but they're also pretty doggone good passers from the pocket. And at the end of the day, with the speed coming off the edge, the speed that the linebackers and the corners can close with, you know, you really got to make your living at the end of the day in the pocket as a passer in the National Football League. And I think what makes those kids so special that you just mentioned is their ability to be accurate throwing from the pocket, but also their ability to extend plays with their feet and their athleticism.
Damon here, kind enough to join us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And Damon, we're just going to stay right here in the NFC West. And, you know, it's going to be a tough road to hoe, as you had mentioned, with the New England team after winning the Super Bowl, going 9-7. I don't really anticipate Seattle doing that. But at the same time, it is a very, very tough division in the NFC West. Of course, San Francisco looking to reload, and they beefed up their receiver squad. And, of course, they lack a little bit in the secondary, I believe. But there are two other teams in this NFC West. You're talking about the St. Louis Rams and the Arizona Cardinals. And, you know, a healthy Sam Bradford, I think, changes the scape a little bit, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would. Certainly that Rams defense, too. You know, I can't name a lot of those guys. I know Howie Long's kid is Chris Long, I believe, is an outstanding edge rusher. They got the other kid that I think, you know, was one of the top guys in the league as far as sacks. And then, you know, what they did smart, they had two first-round draft picks with that RG3 trade, is they went right away for help on that offensive line. I think they got another big interior defensive tackle. So, you know, you could argue the line of scrimmage, the offense and defensive line, the St. Louis Rams, you know, are kind of right there with the Seahawks. Maybe their Seahawks offensive line's a hair better, but they got a lot of first-round talent you know, off the line of scrimmage for the Rams. Jeff Fisher, a proven winning coach in this conference, you know, did some special things there, I thought, in St. Louis, you know, his first year there, and especially toward the end of the season. And then that run that the Cardinals had, I don't know if anybody was hotter in the regular season down the stretch of the season. Carson Palmer got it going, and, you know, all the talent that they have on that defensive side of the ball. So, yeah, it's a tough conference, the best conference in all the National Football League. The Seahawks, you know, everyone's going to be gunning for the champs. You know, that's the other thing, too. So it's going to be a tough, competitive year. You know, I love the Seahawks' chances every time they come and play at home in the Clink. It's hard to beat that team, you know, in Seattle. But, you know, you can bet pro football, you don't win them all. It's going to be a tough, couple tough games on the road. Let's hope they can win enough games to get that home field advantage in the playoffs and get them back to the Super Bowl. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it would be something excellent for the Pacific Northwest to enjoy. And, you know, I know Sean Wally and myself, you know, we kind of go back and forth with him being a Seahawks fan. And to be honest with you, Damon, I'm a diehard Oakland Raider fan. But, you know, talking about the dynasty or the legacy that Seattle could have, that would be great for them to be able to do that for one more year.
You know, it would. I think, you know, you look at the young talent on this football team, a lot of it's locked up now, especially the secondary, a few of the pass rush specialists. You know, obviously Percy Harvin, a talented guy. Russell Wilson, you know, he's not going anywhere. They'll find a way to pay their franchise quarterback. So a lot of great young talent locked up for a long, long time. Pete Carroll just signed his extension. Him and John Schneider seem to be magical in the draft room. So this program has a lot of great things going for it. Like I said, managing success, you know, and keeping everybody happy, you know, with that will be a challenge. And if they can do that, it'll be fun to watch to see this dynasty grow.
Damon here joining us. And Damon, you've moved from the football field to the broadcast booth, and you're a part of the Husky radio broadcast alongside Bob Rondo, and you're making the big move back to Como 1000 this next season. Mm-hmm. What did you learn when you moved from the field to the broadcast booth that maybe you didn't know or didn't understand about that side of broadcasting?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. A lot of fun, you know. I think why so many former players get into broadcasting is, you know, they want to feel important when they walk into the arena on Saturday or Sunday, like they did for so many years. And, you know, if you can't be a player, one of the next best things is obviously coaching, but also being in the booth. You know, you're in the action, you're dialed in, you're thinking about every word you say to call the action and call it correctly. And in some ways, you know, calling a game on the radio is a little more challenging than the television, because the TV, you know, you're just kind of talking about what you see, what the viewer sees. You know, doing a radio broadcast, you really, really got to paint a picture. And I don't think anybody does it better than Bob Rondo. You know, Bob's been the play-by-play guy for 34 years for the Huskies now, and to work alongside him, it's been a lot of fun. This will be year 5 for us. And again, it's just fun walking into the arena with a fun job to do on Saturday, and to get to call that action for all the Husky fans. It's an honor, and it's a privilege, and I have a lot of fun doing that. And I think I've gotten better over the years. And my little brother, Brock, who, you know, ESPN colored college football analyst, he's taught me a few tricks of the trade. And so, you know, I get my big big board together with all the players, the offensive, defense, and some fun stats and nuggets, and try to do the best I can. And I've had a lot of fun doing that with Rondo.
One other fun item you're taking on now is the wine business, PassingTime.com, Passing Time Wines. You partnered with a good buddy of yours, a quarterback some people might have heard of, Dan Marino. What's going on there?
Yeah, I tell you, that's been another passion of mine. And really, Dan and I, this kind of dates back to my time with the Dolphins when I was a young rookie. And Dan was the seasoned veteran all-pro quarterback. And, you know, he's pouring these wines at his house for me. And, you know, he's like, Damon, you know, you ever had this Quesita Creek or Leonetti and, you know, Andrew Will right here from your own backyard in Washington? And I was kind of like, you know, Dan, I couldn't really afford those wines when I was a college kid, but, man, they sure are good. And we always talked about one day when I was done playing and back home that we'd figure out a way to one day make a Washington wine. It kind of all came to fruition the last couple years. I sourced some amazing fruit. I got some great fruit from Shampoo and Discovery Vineyards in the Horse Heaven Hills, and some awesome Merlot to go into our Cabernet blend. right there in Benton City on Red Mountain from the Clipson Vineyard. So we got some amazing fruit going to this awesome wine. We just got 94 points with our barrel sample from the Wine Advocate, which, you know, that publication really kind of sets the market for most wines in the world. And to get that big score right out the gate was just huge for us. And I'd like to think that I have one of the best young winemakers in the state of Washington, a guy by the name of Chris Peterson, not the head football coach, but Chris Peterson, the winemaker. He was at DeLille for 8 years, and now we work with him. He owns Avenia, which is our host winery. So we share a facility here in Woodinville, make the passing time wine there, and we have 500 cases of it available. It's available for pre-sale. We bottled it on June 26th, and we'll release it early next spring, but we're selling a big chunk of it online, as you said there, at passingtime.com with the big score. It's an awesome Washington quintessential Cabernet that I think everybody will love, and I'm certainly excited about going forward in the Washington wine industry.
Damon Heward on the double with the Double S Express, and, you know, former Husky great and wine connoisseur that we're learning here. And so, of course, we'll definitely talk offline about some of these wines, because, man, yeah, it really sounds like a competitive business that you have going. Of course, we had a previous guest on the double with the Double S Express, Drew Bledsoe, who's also dabbled into the wine business as well. And so this sounds like something very profitable.
Well, you know, honestly, it's more of a passion. Could it be profitable down the road? Yeah. But we're making such little wine, you know, that honestly, if we can break even and have some fun with this, and really my goal, and this may sound cheesy, but I want to make Washington's greatest Cabernet. And I know it is competitive, it is a challenge, but I feel like I got some, you know, it starts and ends with the fruit. If you don't get good fruit from established, older vineyards, you really don't have a chance. And then it's the attention to detail in the cellar. And I think, you know, my winemaker while at DeLille, and then now with his wines at Avenia, and then adding our little project to it, I think I have the right pieces in place to try to make that next Washington great Cabernet. And, certainly as we grow the winery, we hope to be at 1,000 cases with this 2014 vintage. You know, our wine this year is a Horse Heaven Hills Cab. You know, 91% of the fruit comes from the Horse Heaven Hills. We call it a Horse Heaven Hills Cab. But what I've learned in my short time in the wine industry is that people identify Washington wine with place. They love Red Mountain, and they love Walla Walla. And with that being said, we're going to make a Red Mountain Cab and a Walla Walla Cab as well with this 2014 vintage, and stop there. So at the end of the day, I hope people identify Washington wine, passing time with Cabernet, and appreciating the three appellations that we're making the Cabernet from: Horse Heaven Hills, Walla Walla, and right there, Red Mountain, close to you guys there in the Tri-City. So a lot of fun. We're going to be all about Cabernet. And, yes, we'll be competing with Drew Bledsoe over at Doubleback.
And, Damon, what's amazing is that's a great grape, the Cab Sauv, but being grown in those three different areas, they can have a completely different outlook on how your wine's going to feel and taste, the color.
Oh, totally.
It's just amazing how many complexities and what all goes into a bottle of wine.
It really is, and I think that's, you know, another thing that's so exciting is, you know, if people are to order some of our wine, you know, going forward in 14 when we're making three different ones, you're right, it'll be a Cabernet, the same varietal, the same vintage, same year, but from those three different places, they will all be so different. You know, the Walla Walla Cabernets tend to be a little bit lighter on their feet, very fruit forward, they're very delicious. Red Mountain is the biggest, powerful tannic. It's right, probably the hottest place in the state right there in Benton City. Makes for some really cool, big, killer cabs. And then the Horse Heaven Hills, you know, this is our flagship. That's what we're making this year, 2012. We do have a little bit of that Red Mountain Clipson Merlot in it, 9% of it. But it is a Horse Heaven Hills cab, which I think right now is probably my favorite appellation. I find it very interesting, as you're talking about, like most Washington cab, but also just, I love the fruit, the complexity, and it's a little bit of a cooler site. This little Discovery Vineyard where we're getting our cab is right on the Columbia River, so it's a little bit cooler. And with that, we can hang our fruit a little bit longer in October before we pick it to let it ripen a little bit more, and it makes it even a little bit more nuances and characteristics that make it, to me, even a little more interesting than some of those hotter climates.
If you want to try Damon Heward's Passing Time wine, you can do so, passingtime.com. Damon, appreciate your time and your insight tonight. Next time you head over to the Red Mountain, Tri-Cities, Prosser area, you let me know and I'll buy you a glass of wine, sir.
Let's do it. I appreciate it, guys, and thank you so much for having me on.
There goes Damon Heward, University of Washington legendary quarterback, former NFL quarterback, and now winemaker connoisseur, passingtime.com.
Man, you know, I love this passion, man. Just talking about the wines, and you too, Sean Wally, sounds like you have a little bit of a knowledge in the vineyard, if you will.
Well, hey, I've got an aunt and uncle that you know that are growing grapes in their backyard, making their own wine, and of course I've got 150 wineries within half hour's drive, so it's definitely one thing to do to pass the time in Eastern Washington.
Man, well, it's a far cry from just popping the cork and pouring it in the bottle. I would love to have a sample of Passer Time wines there from Damon Heward, man. Hey, as a gift to the Double S Express.
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds. And since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that went away. And I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So, guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy. Standing in the Hall of Fame.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd alongside Sean Wally, show number 60. Big time guest number one, Damon Heward on. Sean Wally, great talk with Damon.
Yeah, it was awesome to hear his insight on what it was like to win not one but two Super Bowls and how that may or may not affect the Seattle Seahawks, and talk about the NFC West, and then get into him being in the broadcast booth for the University of Washington football broadcast, and moving on to his new passion, winemaking, Passing Time Wines, passingtime.com.
Yeah, I think Damon was being a little bit modest. I mean, if you win a Super Bowl, there are all kinds of, you know, people that take precedence and take a strong part in that. And of course, you know, Damon was that glue, keeping it together for Tom Brady. And so, man, two Super Bowls, and you had mentioned the wines, and of course playing for the University of Washington, playing in the NFL. And man, we didn't get a chance to talk to him about Chris Peterson and what his thoughts were with the upcoming University of Washington football season.
Well, that's another reason to have him back on as a guest, just like this guest right now. Let's go back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines. Welcome in Paul Sunderland. Paul, thanks again for joining us and your time tonight.
Yeah, pleasure. Beautiful evening down here. I hope it's nice up in the Northwest.
Yes, and so, of course, in Northern California, it is nice as well. I think we got a little bit of relief here today, Paul. Had about close to 100 degrees today instead of the 104 that they were talking about.
Well, just find a place in the shade. You'll be all good. Cool in the shade.
Cool in the shade. That's right. Hey, Paul, last when you were on the show last, you know, we kind of left off there without you talking about and giving your take on the NBA Finals. Of course, San Antonio Spurs winning against the Miami Heat. And kind of wanted to get your thoughts on the whole series.
Well, I thought the better team won. I thought the more talented team won. Miami is just kind of, I think, at least as they went through the playoffs, got a little bit exposed as being sort of a shadow of what they were a couple of years ago. You know, Chris Bosh has basically become a 6'11" three-point shooter. They have no inside presence, and I understand the thought process behind that. They want to open up the floor, so they create driving lanes for LeBron. Dwayne Wade, unfortunately, is probably much closer to the end than he is the middle or the beginning, but because of some nagging injuries. And, you know, the Shane Battiers, the Udonis Haslams, you know, Mike Miller I know is gone, but Mario Chalmers, you know, the bench players and the other supporting cast, if you will, for Miami just was not up to the task. And I thought San Antonio was just by far the better team. You know, Tony Parker, Kawhi Leonard, Tim was doing what Tim does, Manu Ginobili, Tiago Splitter, Patty Mills. I mean, you just contrast it with what I talked about with the role players for Miami not coming through. I mean, look at some of the games that Patty Mills and Kawhi Leonard had. You know, I saw Kawhi Leonard when he was a high school kid in Southern California, and you knew he was going to be good, but nobody except maybe R.C. Buford and the guys, you know, Popovich and the guys down in San Antonio had any idea that he was going to be this good. But look what San Antonio does to build their team. Okay, they got really lucky with the Admiral out for that 1 year when they were just awful, and they got Tim Duncan. Okay, fine. But other than that, Tony Parker, late first round, Manu Ginobili, second round, Tiago Splitter, second round, Kawhi Leonard, late in the first round, and here they are. You know, not only are they the best team, plays the best basketball, but they're the most talented team in the league right now as far as I'm concerned.
And, of course, you know, the San Antonio Spurs this offseason solidifying, you know, the post again with Tim Duncan opting in to his contract, so he will be back next year. And then you look at the other side, as we're talking about the Miami Heat, the big three in Wade, James, Bosh, all opting out of their contracts, of course, leaving one person that's under contract for the Miami Heat, and that was Denoris Cole. You know, what's the thought process with the Miami Heat? I know that the three of the, you know, the big three had a meeting and then they came out of it. You know, what is this posture that's going on in Miami right now? Should we read into it, or will they be back next year?
I don't think so. I was really surprised to see that Houston offered Chris Bosh a max contract. I think it was 5 years or 4 years, $96 million. I mean, how do you turn that down? You go play with Dwight Howard. You don't have to go in the post and bang. You play with James Harden. You know, that's a really good team in Houston. So I think Chris Bosh, whether it's to Houston or someplace else, is probably out of there. Listening to talk radio today in Los Angeles, I mean, everybody's really excited about the possibility of Carmelo coming, but also talking about how there's been sort of a sea change over the weekend in the thought that LeBron was going to stay in Miami for sure, and he's going to meet with Pat. He was supposed to meet with him in the next day or two, and that's obviously vitally important. But right now, I think it's 50-50 that LeBron stays. Dwayne and Chris Bosh would have to take huge pay cuts. I mean, down into the $9, $10, $11 million range, and Bosh is being offered $19. So I don't see that, because LeBron's made it clear that he wants the max, and if there's any player in the league that's worth the max, it's LeBron. So I just don't see Chris Bosh taking that big a pay cut when he doesn't need to. And, you know, if you look at Miami, the biggest mistake in Miami was that they talked too darn much. You know, remember when they all got together, they're going, one championship, two, three, four, five, when does it stop? Well, you know, that's going to come back to bite you, because if you look at their record together, four finals, two championships, pretty darn good. Pretty darn good. But they set the bar really unreasonably high. But they were, you know, they're young. They're relatively still young, and they obviously were younger 4 or 5 years ago when they got together. And they talk too much. I wouldn't be surprised to see LeBron move. It seems there's a lot of momentum for him to go back to Cleveland. I think that would ease a lot of guilt feelings on his part, because I think he handled that whole decision process. I mean, that was embarrassing. But, you know, he's an Akron native. I think his wife feels very much at home in that part of the country. So it's going to be a really, really, really interesting next couple of weeks as far as free agency is concerned. And, you know, being here in Los Angeles and hearing all the talk about Carmelo Anthony and Pau Gasol, because he's such a smart player and probably has another 2 or 3 good years in him, is on everybody's radar. I mean, he's on Miami's radar. You know, Pat is going to try to get Pau down there to try to entice LeBron and Chris to stay. Phil Jackson, who knows Pau very well, is going to try to get him to New York to try to lure Carmelo back, because, you know, I'm not sure Carmelo wants to play in the Western Conference. It's a lot easier road in the East. You know, the West with San Antonio, Oklahoma City, Portland, Golden State, the Clippers, and I'm probably forgetting somebody. I mean, there are any number of pretty tough teams that you're going to have to go through in the West, where the East is still really, really awful, really awful. So it just remains to be seen. It's going to be very interesting indeed, and I think there's going to be some big, big shakeups. Everybody's reporting here in L.A. that the sales pitch to Carmelo was brilliantly done and very effectively done and cleverly done. But, you know, you got Kobe, who's got to have the ball, and Carmelo, who's got to have the ball. And if Kobe hadn't been hurt the last couple of years, I'd say Kobe would defer. Kobe would, you know, play the point, and he would be more of a playmaker. But I think Kobe wants to prove to everybody that he can come back from the Achilles, from the knee, and for the next couple of years be the same old Kobe, averaging 25 a game. So, you know, sales pitch aside, I'd be surprised if Carmelo lands in Los Angeles, but I've been surprised before.
Paul Sunderland joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And Paul, what's it going to take for the Lakers to get back to that level of play where they're in the conversation of being a team that is worthy of that Western Conference title?
Oh, boy, it's going to take time. It's going to take time and a whole sequence of really, really good decisions. See, I think that the push to get Carmelo is more of a branding and more of a stopgap situation. It's not a long-term piece of the puzzle, because Carmelo's already been in the league for a long time. So I think the Lakers are a little bit desperate. Time Warner Cable pays them $200 million a year for their local TV rights. I think they feel obligated to put a product on the floor that's going to attract eyeballs, that justifies that sort of rights fee. So the push for Carmelo, I understand. But as far as the Lakers being relevant again, that's going to take a whole sequence of year after year after year drafting the right player. And maybe Randall from Kentucky was good. We'll see. I don't like it when big guys have foot problems. But we'll see. The doctors say he's going to be fine, and the reports are that he's a solid kid and is going to be a good, consistent pro, not spectacular, but a good piece for a long time. And, you know, the Lakers are a mess. The Lakers are really a mess. You talk about Norris Cole being the only player signed as far as Miami was concerned. Steve Nash and Kobe and maybe one other player are the only players under contract right now for the Lakers. So, and don't forget, look at the coaching mess that they've created, all the way back to Rudy Tomjanovich. I mean, I was working for the Lakers when they hired Rudy T, after Phil was fired the first time around. And then the smartest thing they did was bring Phil back, and that created the situation for a couple of more championships. And then they had a chance to bring Phil back again and made a terrible mistake hiring Mike D'Antoni, who from day one I said was just going to be a disaster. And I said from day one that Mike Brown was going to be a disaster. So Mike Brown comes to the Lakers. He lasts a season and four games. Mike D'Antoni, I mean, Rudy T. The word is that Byron Scott is going to be the next coach here in Los Angeles. You know, I'm going to plead the fifth on the current coaching search for the Lakers, because some of the names involved are dear friends of mine, so I'm just going to stay on the sidelines. But the Lakers have completely screwed up the whole coaching situation, and they overpaid Kobe. They're paying Kobe $24.5 million for the next 2 years, and everybody says, okay, fine, then they still have room to sign a max player. But, you know, you've got to be able to sign a plethora of players who you can fit in at $4 million, at $5 million, at $3 million, at $6 million. And by paying Kobe, by overpaying Kobe at this stage of his career, you know, the Lakers really tied their own hands. And so, you know, look at Boris Diaw. Boris Diaw is a perfect example. How good is he for San Antonio? You know, Boris Diaw is going to re-sign for about maybe $6 or $7 million a year. If the Lakers had paid Kobe the 14 to 17 that he probably should be getting the next couple of years, then they'd have enough money to sign a player like Boris Diaw. But now they don't. So, long-winded way of saying I think that, unfortunately, you know, I've lived in Los Angeles all my life. I have been a Laker fan. I've been employed by the Lakers. I've been really a diehard Laker fan all of my life. And I think the prospects are hypothetically pretty dim. But, you know, it could turn. If for some reason, and I don't see it, but it could, if Carmelo signs with the Lakers, then I think Powell will stay and run out the string, given that he's got 2 or 3 years left and Kobe's got 2 years left. So you could create a scenario where it was, you know, a 40-plus-year-old Steve Nash, Pau Gasol, Carmelo Anthony, and Kobe Bryant. Now, that's a playoff team. It's a team that's nowhere near a championship, but it's a team that's probably a 6-7 seed in the Western Conference. And, you know, obviously if they're 6-7, they're not going to host, so they're probably out in the first round. But I think that's the best possible scenario. I mean, the best possible scenario for the Lakers today is that they're a 6 or 7 seed next year, one and done. And the worst possible scenario is that they're not in the playoffs for a long time.
Paul, it goes to show how important a great GM is that can manage and have people to help him manage that salary cap and understand that you can't backload everybody's contract and you can't give max deals to everybody. And at some point, things have to shake out to where you have to get the numbers right in order to be competitive.
Well, you can't make any mistakes. It's a salary cap league, just like the NFL and the NHL. You cannot make mistakes with your roster, your draft picks, or your money. You can't do it. You know, LeBron is underpaid. Kevin Durant is underpaid. You know, how many players in the league truly deserve the max? I think I just named the two. There's probably a couple of others. But you get my drift. You just cannot overpay players, and I think the Lakers dramatically overpaid Kobe. They paid him for what he's done as opposed to what he's capable of doing in the future. And you can't do it. You just can't do it. And again, you got to think back. If Phil Jackson was the coach instead of Mike D'Antoni, then Dwight Howard would still be in L.A.,
Yeah, Mike good Dan- point.
Mike D'Antoni was despised by Dwight Howard. Mike D'Antoni does not know how to play with a power big man in the middle. So you traded Andrew Bynum, fine. I'm never a Bynum fan. You know, I wish the kid well, but there's issues there besides the physical. And so you get Dwight in here, and you lose him after 1 year and get nothing for him. You have the game's dominant center under contract to you. He walks. You can't do that.
Yeah,
if you're going to lose him, you got to get something in return. Or if you hire Phil, you don't lose him in the first place.
And that's a big
The idea of Phil coming back is not speculation on my part. Phil thought he had the job. And then the Lakers completely screwed that deal up and went with D'Antoni.
Yeah, you know, Paul, you're mentioning or hitting a huge point in having Phil Jackson coming back. I believe that was the strength for the Lakers to actually turn things around, at least in the near future. And so, of course, there's the huge debacle with, you know, with paying these huge contracts, especially Kobe Bryant's contract in the rears, you know. And, you know, I just don't see any relief in sight in the near future for the Lakers. I'm sure at some point, because they are the Los Angeles Lakers, that things will get back to normal, to where they're back in the postseason and doing some great things. But right now, it just looks horrible for the franchise.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, again, to me, the best possible scenario for Laker fans is that Carmelo signs. His wife is in the entertainment business. There's a big push as far as, you know, her involvement in the entertainment business. That's fine. That's fine. That's a very legitimate sales point to Carmelo. So it's Carmelo, Kobe, Pau, Steve, and a cast of who knows who. Okay, that gets you the sixth seed. Then what? Then Kobe's a year older. Nash is done. Pau's, you know, another year past it. So then maybe they sneak into the playoffs the next year. Kobe's done, Pau's done, Steve's done, you got Carmelo. Then what? I mean, obviously you get some draft choices, and maybe Randall's really good. We'll see. But it doesn't look too good, because if you're the sixth or seventh seed, then you're not in the lottery. You're drafting late again. So, you know, you got to get lucky in the draft. And, you know, look, the Lakers, since they moved here in 1960, have missed the playoffs three times. The Lakers have won 14 championships. They have a history and a tradition of being able to make whatever downturns they experience very, very, very short. I mean, the Detroit Pistons still suck. Boston, how long were they awful after they won championships in the 80s? I mean, they were a laughingstock of the league for over a decade before they came back to the fore. I mean, the Lakers have laid down a resume of excellence through decade after decade that is unparalleled in professional sports with respect to their consistency. So history would tell you that they will be able to reestablish themselves as a preeminent franchise. But, you know, sometimes there's just a sea change. I mean, let's not forget about the team they share the building with. You know,
yeah,
the Clippers are really, really good, and they're entertaining, and their players are good dudes. Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, I mean, right on down the list. I mean, these are guys you never hear a peep of trouble. They play hard. They practice hard. Doc Rivers is an old friend of mine. I haven't seen him much in the last few years. He's a class act. I mean, just look at the way he handled this Sterling scandal. You know, so I think the Lakers are potentially in more trouble than they've ever been since they've been in Los Angeles, which is saying a lot, but we'll see how the next, you know, we'll see how the next several years pan out. I mean, look at the Knicks. Look at the Knicks where Phil is. The Knicks were in the finals in 1999. They lost to San Antonio that year. That was a strike-shortened year. I mean, the Knicks haven't been relevant since. They haven't been relevant since Jeff Van Gundy was there, holding on to Alonzo Mourning's leg.
Yeah, that is a great image.
The Lakers have just been unbelievable with their ability to right the ship and get back on course in very short order. But this could just be one of those times where it's gotten away from them.
Now let's talk about Paul. You mentioned the team that shares the building, the LA Clippers, and you know they have a strong nucleus in the coaching staff along with the players, but you know there's still this issue with the ownership, and of course Donald Sterling, well his wife Shelly meeting in court today, but. You know, the debacle there, you know, it seemed like it was a formality that the team is going to be sold. And, you know, and then there's this glitch today. And so, you know, what's the feel in L.A. about the whole Sterling issue and how this seems like it's just not going to go away?
Well, for the most part, the feeling in Los Angeles is $2 billion. $2 billion, trust me, will get the job done. Steve Ballmer knew that he was dealing with a very volatile person, a very unpredictable person, and he overpaid by a big number to get the Clippers. I think that at the end of the day, and I think the end of the day means probably before the 1st of August, the ownership of the Clippers will be officially transferred to Steve Ballmer for $2 billion. I think there's all sorts of maneuverings going on in court, and I get that. Shelley is trying to prove that Donald is incompetent, that he can't manage his own business. I think Donald's ego got hurt several times along the way, mostly by his own stupidity, and rightfully so. But I think that at the end of the day, money talks, and you know what walks. So $2 billion is $2 billion. Can you imagine $2 billion for the Clippers? $2 billion.
I can't imagine.
What are the Lakers worth then? Four?
It has to be. I mean, if you're going to speak relatively, yeah, it has to be $4
billion. $4 billion. Wow.
Amazing.
Every owner in the NBA better send Steve Ballmer a big birthday present. I mean, unbelievable. But I have some friends who are pretty closely associated with this whole situation, so I get a pretty good update blow by blow. And I think let me hedge a little. I guarantee you that before September, it'll all be done, and Ballmer will be the new owner. Everybody will be happy. And moving forward, no question about it. No question.
Paul Sunderland, thank you so much for your great insight and knowledge one more time tonight. We appreciate it.
Yeah, good to be on with you guys. Really enjoy it, and we'll visit another time. Enjoy the evening.
Likes the inconvenience of car repairs. Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret. A new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product. Helped me a lot. Took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy. Standing in the Hall of Fame. And the world's gonna know your name. Cause you burn with the brightest flame. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy. Standing in the Hall of Fame. And the world's gonna know your name.
Cause you burn with the brightest flame. Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd, otherwise known as the Double S Express, here on the Double for show 60, Mr. Boyd. It's been a good one.
It definitely has. Of course, guest number one, Damon Heward, former University of Washington quarterback, NFL quarterback, and the owner of PassingTime.com Wines. And then, of course, guest number two, none other than Paul Sunderland. And, man, it has just been an awesome, awesome show again, Sean Wally.
It's amazing how much knowledge both those guys have. Damon with football, Damon with wine, Paul Sunderland with nearly any sport, but of course basketball being his forte, which what he's done play-by-play for 20, 30-plus years, and there's just so much good information on show number 60.
Man, passion by both guests. Of course, as you were mentioning, Damon talking about the ins and outs of developing a fine wine, and of course, Paul Sunderland and his passion on the goings on with the Los Angeles Lakers and all things Los Angeles as far as basketball is concerned. And you can kind of sense that it's getting to that point to where, you know, the ire of LA is upon them, to where they want to know, you know, the Laker fans want to know what is going on and how can we get this turned around. And you can definitely feel it from Paul Sunderland tonight.
Sean, we've had a representative for this show in Hawaii for a broadcast. That was you, if you didn't remember.
Which now, we will be doing again soon.
And now we've got one half of the Double S from Las Vegas tonight for show 60. Good times.
Yeah, definitely spreading our wings and getting out there around the country. And of course, you're doing some great things down there and, you know, discovering some of the talent, future NBA talent, and of course, European ball players over here trying to make their mark into getting into the NBA. And so it should be a fun week for you, man. I'm excited. I'm excited for the Double S Express and some of the things that we are doing. And, you know, I know that you're going to do it well, man. And, you know, this is your chance to actually make your mark, and, you know, I'm proud of you, man.
Well, and all for all the listeners out there, if you want to check out the basketball action from Vegas this week, globalbasketball.com is the place to do that.
Yeah, and so, I will definitely be locked in and getting a chance to hear, you know, some of your broadcasting. And how can we get a chance to listen to that broadcasting, Sean Wally?
Well, like I said, just go to that website, globalbasketball.com. The games will be uploaded. They will not be live due to internet connectivity issues, which I think we know something about here tonight. And everything will be uploaded to YouTube, to their website. So many different avenues to check out some good basketball action.
So not just global basketball that's going on there in Las Vegas as we speak. The summer leagues have started for the NBA. And of course, I was locked into one of our local stations here, and they were talking about the Sacramento Kings and how they're practicing at a high school down there in Las Vegas. So don't be surprised if you bump elbows with some of the upcoming NBA greats there as summer league has started for them as well.
Well, for our league here, we've got NBA D League officials and D League officials in training. So the GBSL, Global Basketball Summer League, is not just a flash in the pan, and they're doing things right. And yeah, definitely there are some, hey, it's Vegas. You could see celebrities anytime, anywhere, and having the NBA in town never hurts.
Yeah, definitely. And so show 60 in the books, man. We're going to let you get some rest and prepare for a huge day.
Sounds like a plan. Got a production meeting to get to and back on the mic in the morning, 10 a.m., first of four games tomorrow in Las Vegas.
Awesome stuff. So that's going to do it for us. Show number 60 in the books, Sean Wally. Man, you know, have a blast down there. Look forward to going online and hearing some of the broadcasting. It should be great nonetheless. I mean, we do it double S style. That's the only way that we know how to do it. And so, again, show number 60 in the books. For Sean Wally, I'm Sean Boyd. Don Newsom, engineer. You've been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.